charge of that, maybe do that in about a month when everybody's forgotten. So anyway, hope everybody's doing good today and enjoying the cooler weather that we're having. And so, yes, the people from up north are happy. Yes. Yes, yes. Let's just get to fall and stay there for a while. So anyway, I want to talk out of Job today. And so the title of the message is Testing Our Faith. And I'm not going to go all the way through Job, but we'll talk about the beginning, though, verse 1 through 1, well, chapter 1, 1 through 22. And I'm going to read that, and then we'll go ahead and do some talking and so forth. And somewhere in the middle of the time there, I've got I'm going to share just a little bit of my own experience or how sometimes I've felt like Job in the last few months. But anyway, so I'm going to start in chapter 1, verse 1. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and a large number of servants. And he was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." And this was Job's regular custom. His first test one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered to the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." And then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied, "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and his herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And one day when Jacob's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabians attacked and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck all the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. And so that's the first part of Job. And so, you know, when I was reading this and kind of writing what I'm going to talk about and stuff like that, one thing that I seen in here that maybe we do sometimes is that maybe Job was on autopilot, and things that had been became routine for him or custom on a daily basis. Because in 1:5 it says it was his regular custom. It's like he regularly did it. And so, but he was still a great believer. He was just on autopilot. And, you know, today we live in a world full of trouble and problems. Okay, they're all around us. We don't have to go very far, and few of us can truly say that we've never had any problems, You know, even Job himself said, you know, when a man is born just a few days from his mother, there's trouble. But Job goes on to reason that since his days on earth are already determined and the number of his months are already with God, and God has set the limit, that the limit of God is already cannot be bypassed from us. You know, no scientist has made a pill that's going to give us an extra 10 years because we fooled around and didn't get it done in time. So God's in control of our time on earth. And what I want you to get out of that is, you know, every day is precious, and we should take each and every day and live it to the fullest and do what we should be doing and so forth, even when there's trouble. In Psalms 90, 12, it says, teach us to number our days, and what it means is that our days are numbered, and again, to use them wisely. And since our days are numbered, it makes sense that our trials and tribulations are temporary. You know, although that when we're in the middle of them, it doesn't seem like it. And so, you know, that's good to read or understand that, you know, what you're going through any given day, it's nothing that's going to last forever. It may seem like it, but it's not going to last forever, you know. And these troubles or tribulations and trials, they're not too new to any of us. You know, if you've been around on this earth for a few days, which most of us have, you've ran into one trouble or another at one time or another. But the very moment that you're born and you leave the comfort of your mother's womb, the doctor will turn you upside down and by the ankles and slap you on the bottom. And that's kind of like you're welcome to this mean, cruel world, you know. And it just gets better or worse from there. And so, you know, it's the doctor hits you and you haven't done anything wrong, you know. And, yeah, you have it. That's your first spanking. You know, all of you, all of us, that's our first spanking, right? We get born and we get spanked. And so that's for what we're going to do, because we're all going to do something eventually, you know. But anyway, so from that day on, though, there's people, circumstances, and situations that are going to keep hitting us, and we haven't done anything to deserve it. You know, as we go through our life, we know that there's a constant enemy against the children of God. As soon as you raise your hand and say, I'll accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, you know, you thought you had troubles before. Now you just put a target on your back. And they don't get better just because you become a Christian, you know. Anybody in here that's a Christian and been a Christian for a few days, raise your hand if you've never had any trouble. Oh, okay. So that must be true there, because, you know, I've had enough trouble and, you know, I don't know. I've been around a year or two, but anyway. So the devil, you know, he's busy. You know, you don't like to focus on him. You got to focus on what Christ has done for us and so forth. But, you know, he's referred to in the Bible as a thief. But, you know, he's not just a normal thief. A normal thief will sneak in when you're sleeping and try to take something from you, and then they leave, and they leave everything else with you. But, you know, in the reference of a thief that Satan is, he wants to come in and just take everything that you've got, and not just take it, but destroy you and leave nothing but a rubble left. Okay, and he wants to do it because you're a child of God. And so in the midst of all that, you know, that's kind of what happened to Job. You know, God had a hedge of protection around him, and he was blessed, and he had all this stuff. And Satan went to God and said, hey, you know, the only reason he's happy is because you've protected him so much. And so God let him take everything except for harm the man himself. Because he figured if he took enough from him, that he'd start cursing God. So, but the one thing that we got to remember sorry about that, but Satan operates on a deadline. You know, one of his lies against us is that, you know, our situation is going to get worse. And sometimes it does get worse, but God's not going to answer our prayer in the time that we might want it answered. And sometimes we take things into our own hands, you know. Like if you're waiting for an answer prayer, and, you know, with everything that we get that's instant these days, we don't get it fast enough. So we just walk over to the prayer microwave and hit, you know, 30 seconds, you know. And then we go out and we take care of it ourselves. And sometimes those problems are just drag on because we do it ourselves. And so, but He'll say, look at the problems that you're facing. Okay, you can have one after another, and nothing's going to change. Everything will remain the same. All you really got to do is look forward to more problems. You know, but the devil, he's a liar, okay? And he's the chief liar, especially in troubled times. He's going to come around and tell you that, oh, it ain't going to get any better. It's just going to be worse and all that kind of stuff, okay? And so, and he's going to try to turn us against the only hope that we got. Because really, just like Job, when he lost all of his sons, his daughters, his camels and stuff like that, the one thing that he did not lose is Jesus and God and his belief. Okay, and that's the one thing that Satan can't take from us. And that's the one thing that, you know, God had said, you can touch everything but the man. And even though he'd lost everything around him, you know, he still believed. And so he'll try to get us to believe during the times that we're going through our toughest that there's nothing left. We just might as well just give up and die, you know. But God, the God that we serve, is too merciful to just leave us with nothing. So if we make a mistake of acting as if everything is gone, then we have no gratitude for the things that he's already done for us. We're become an unhappy, miserable person. And when life has you down with those problems, you got to look at still what you have. You know, you always have stuff around you. You got to look and see all the blessings and all the past blessings. And even when you're going through your worst, there's still blessings. You're being blessed every day, but sometimes you're so focused on the problem that you're not focused on the blessings around you. And, you know, and the one person that's always going to be there no matter how bad it gets is Jesus. You know, he's never going to leave us, forsake us, or run off. All we have to do is just turn around. And, you know, have you ever been in a busy place and it's real crowded and stuff and you're trying to find someone, you can't find them, and you turn around and you just about knock them over because they're so close to you? That's how Jesus is. He's right there just waiting, okay? So the one thing that we can kind of put in our mind and remember is that, you know, only God can write a period to our life. You know, the most we can do is put commas, because there's always something else or another. You know, I can decide I'm going to do this today and something else will happen tomorrow, and so my plans have changed. But God can actually put a period on it and say this is what it's going to be, and there's nothing else coming. This is it. So when you face one problem after another, when you know the dust is starting to fly and the smoke's getting thick and the fire's too hot, you can't stand it anymore, do you reason with yourself and say that I'm trying to believe and that the devil's very interested in how much we believe? But, you know, when it's going tough, here's a verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that we can lean on. And it's hard when things are tough, but no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. So all those troubles that you're having, you know, if you've lost your job or if you're sick or you don't have enough money to get to the end of the month or you know, you're just having kind of a crabby day because nobody likes you today, the only thing that you got to remember is that God's not going to give us anything more than we can handle. But it's also common, which means if it's common to mankind, it means probably three other people sitting around you are going through something similar or have in the past. And so the rest of that verse says, and God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So when you're tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it. Now, I know when you're in the middle of it, it doesn't feel like, you know, how much more can I take, you know? Well, when you're in the middle of it, it seems harder. Okay, but you got to do like what Job did. He lost everything, and he kept praising anyway. You know, in the end of the story, he was restored. And so so the Bible's telling us that we have everyday troubles, and there's nothing that God can't help us out of, and that he has provided us the way out of every one of those everyday troubles. And so, you know, amen that he's done that, you know, because if some days what I'm in, some of the troubles that I'm in, if there is no way out of them, you know, it'd be like, okay, maybe I should move to the moon or something, you know. But anyway, the thing that we also need to remember is that he's a defeated enemy. He, you know, when you're in trouble and all that and you're feeling like, you know, what next? He doesn't want you to realize that. But he's already been defeated. He was defeated at Calvary. You know, his head was cut off. You know, the Bible refers to him as a serpent. And so I was doing a little work, and this almost sounds like a chicken, but anyway, when a snake has had its head cut off, it's still dangerous. It can still, like, strike and attack, And that is sort of like what the devil can do, you know, but it's all temporary because he was defeated at Calvary. And there's nothing that he can't do to us that is eternal as long as we keep our faith on Jesus and we stay there. So, you know, when we're being tested and we feel like, oh, I can't take anymore, you know, just turn to Christ, okay? Just turn to your Bible, read the Word, read 1 Corinthians 10:13, just so that you can remind yourself that, you know, there's nothing that's not common to mankind, and God's given us a way out. And so, you know, when Job was going through all that, he's probably thought, you know, just for a brief moment that, during that time, it's one thing after another. Because, you know, those servants, they came to him one at a time. One hadn't even finished talking, and another one came. So, you know, have you ever had those days where it's just one thing after another, after another, after another? And it's just like, when is this day going to get over? Because I need to start fresh tomorrow. You know, today has been so bad. You know, you just can't take any more. But, you know, you don't even have to go out and look for trouble. Sometimes it'll just find you. You know, it doesn't have to look up in the phone book to find out where Mike lives. Trouble knows exactly where I'm at. I can stay in my house and get in trouble. You know, the old adage, sometimes I don't even get out of bed and I'm in trouble. You know, I've probably done something I was supposed to do. Oh, yeah, I didn't put something away the night before. But anyway, so trouble finds you really easy. You know, and here's another thing, though. Trouble doesn't mind getting dressed in its Sunday best, okay? Trouble doesn't mind walking into a house of worship, okay? Trouble is a gossiper. Sometimes trouble can fool you and make you think it's their friend. And when it thinks that the time is right, it'll show its true color. You know, if it's not one thing, it's another. You know, somebody could one day pay their phone bill, and next day you get another bill, and it's for long-distance calls. You can pay your cable bill, and you forget the water bill's due. It's not one thing or it's another, okay? I'm going to go out of Job for a minute here and just share a little bit of what I have gone through in the last, 6 months or so. Most of you probably know, some don't know. Maybe I'll share a little bit more detail. But, you know, I got real comfortable at my previous job, and I was there for 20 and a half years. And in November, it was on the 13th of November, and it was Friday the 13th, too. So the only good thing about that day was Jimmy's was giving away free sandwiches. And so, yes. And so anyway, I had lost my job. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I lost my job, but they gave me a very good package going out the door. And so, and you know, I took it pretty well. A lot of other people lost their job, too. And so it's not like, oh, poor me. There was a whole bunch of people that lost their job. So I felt fortunate that at that time that I had other resources that I didn't have to worry about where my next, car payment or house payment and all that was going to come from. Elisa probably took it worse than I did. You know, the thing about losing your job is you get a steady income every month or couple of weeks or whatever, and you get used to that so that you know what bills are due when and so forth. And when you don't have things coming in regular, then you have to put it all together in a big old pile and hope that it stretches out to go to everything at the end of the month. And so that's what I've gotten used to. But, you know, so I lost my job. And so I decided to just take a couple of months off, and I didn't work. But the worst thing about losing my job was I had about 7.5 weeks of vacation. That's what I'm still bitter about. But anyway, but, you know, instead, though, I took a couple of months off. So, and then I went to work for DART, driving a bus, paratransit. And so I drove people that needed a lift to get in and out or get to work. And I love that job. But as soon as I got done with my 90 days there, the thing that they didn't tell me, okay, I live in Boone and I'm not moving to Des Moines, which is what they suggested. But you work 3 hours in the morning and then you work 3 hours in the evening. So I had 8 hours in the middle to kill. So a couple of times I stayed down there and then I said, this is nuts. I can get all this stuff done. So in 1 week I drove 900 miles back and forth to go down there to work for 30 hours. And so I thought, well, this is kind of counterproductive. So I, again, quit there. I think it was on the 13th. I like to do things on the 13th. It wasn't Friday, though, but maybe it was. Anyway, so I quit there, and I took another couple of months off, And that wasn't too bad, you know. Eventually I thought, hey, this might be what retirement's like, you know. Money comes to you and you just kind of do things around the house and so forth. But then Elisa, maybe this is what retirement's like. She's like, maybe it's time you get a job. You need to go find a job. So I thought, well, okay, I'll look for a job. So anyway, I did get a job. I was trying to get two or three jobs that I really wanted, and I didn't get any of them, and I thought, you know, this is crazy, you know. And so I took just to get a job so I can get out of the house, I took a job at Casey's. Well, I really wanted to do cashier work, but I couldn't do the cashier work because they really needed somebody making pizzas. The funny thing is they had a history of people that were, like, younger than 30 getting their first paycheck and quitting. But anyway, so they go through people a lot there. And so I'm sure that they're still hiring there because they hired three when I left, and I think they're still got a sign up saying they need pizza makers. But so if you need a job, Casey's is hiring. They have at least one position. So I quit that job, and but I didn't. This time I had a plan because I was going elsewhere. But to back up a little bit, how things just keep hitting and hitting and hitting. And you know, the good thing about it is, through all of this and putting all this pool of money together and so forth so that we can pay all our bills, we've paid every one of our bills every month, and, you know, every one of our freezers and stuff are full. So we're not starving, and nobody's knocking at my door wanting anything back. So that's a blessing in God, even though I've had more jobs in the last 6 months than I had in my whole life, you know. Because that's 20 years at CDS and 14 years in the Navy. So for 34 years, I never really had to apply for a job, and so except for CDS. And so anyway, we decided one day we're going to go down to the farmer's market, and I think it was the second week they were open. And for the past couple of years, I've had, every once in a while, I've had chest pains. And, you know, if I can, this is the other part that I got in trouble for, but if I can get away from it, nobody knows that I have them except myself. Well, Elisa caught me having one down there at the farmer's market because I couldn't really hide. I was around probably 100,000 other people. And I ended up in the emergency room, which is a whole big another story. But anyway, so they did some testing. And so when they got done with the testing, they determined that, and I don't know if it happened like then or the week before, or maybe it's been going on for a while, but they deemed I had heart failure, okay? And so, by the way, I'm one of the healthiest heart failure people in the world, I think. But anyway, so they said I had heart failure. So they put me on some medicine and stuff like that. And then we went back a couple weeks later, and they I think my doctor has ADHD or something, because he started talking about putting in a defibrillator. And fortunately, before he finished, he changed the subject to something else. And he forgot to come back to it. But the main concern was, you know, you have your heart's supposed to pump it 55 to 75%. Mine was at 27. If it's below 30, they say you can just drop dead at any moment. It's not my time today. But anyway, right, Lord? So I got to finish this. So anyway, so I went, and so at the same time, I took a job at Casey's. And, you know, he said, I can't run, which kind of killed me. I got to email him and see if he'll let me do it again. But he said, I can't run, and I was getting ready to, I was already starting to run and stuff again. And, and I'm not supposed to be out in the hot and the humidity and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't listen there either. I went to the Habitat House one day, worked 5 hours, and spent the next day and a half in bed. But, you know, some people are stubborn. And so anyway, so I started at Casey's, and it was too hard. And I didn't want to quit, because even though it wasn't a lot of money, it was brought in a little bit of money, because remember, I got to put it all in this little pile to pay stuff. And so in that process, Hy-Vee was hiring again. And so I was working at Hy-Vee before I actually quit Casey's, which was nice, because 1 week I got two paychecks. And so I'm working part-time there. And the reason I can only work part-time and still put all that stuff together was I'm also going back to school full-time. I start Thursday. You could pray for me, because, you know, it's you got to hope you could, you know, train an old horse a new trick. But I'm going to go for aging services management, if anybody cares, because you know, here in about 3 years, I'm going to need the service. Yeah. So, hey, there's the phone. So anyway, So I'm going back to school, and you know, here's the other blessing. You got to look at everything that, you know, I could sit at my house and go, man, I lost my job. I don't have nothing to do. I'm making pizzas. That's rotten. I did that when I was 20. Why am I doing that? But I was able to hook up with the VA. And the other blessing is through the VA, I got hooked up with a program where they're completely paying for all of my schooling. So that's all paid for. So there's a blessing. And not only are they paying for my schooling, they're putting some money into my little pile every month that I'm in school so that I can actually live on it and only work a few hours a week. Because they really didn't want me to work at all. And I'm like, okay, but I got to put a little money in this pile. So anyway, so I could sit back and say, you know, like Job, I lost all this different stuff, and it's like, oh, poor me. You know, I used to sit behind a desk all day, and the worst thing I did was have to maybe go pick up my fax across the building, and it was a really big building. But anyway, and all that kind of stuff, and now I had to, you know, when I was working for DART, there was days that it was really raining hard and all that kind of stuff, and I had to get out in the rain and get somebody in their wheelchair and bring it out so they could go to their senior center lunch and stuff like that. And I really like that job. You know, I like that job so much that that's what made me choose aging services management. So hopefully I'll be able to help some other people. Because when you go to people's houses and you help them, you see all these different things that people have it so much worse. There's this one lady. She was 93 years old. Her daughter lived next to her. I picked her up just about every day to take her to the senior center to go to lunch. And she had just a manual wheelchair. She had no sidewalk from the curb to her house. So when it was super muddy out, I had to take her and just basically drag her wheelchair backwards through the mud up to my bus to put it on the bus. And then when she went back, she had to go through the same thing, you know. And then I ran into another lady that has it even worse. And, you know, and her experience got even worse because she has all these health issues. I think she had cancer. She was like ridden in a wheelchair, she couldn't do anything. And one day I had to go pick her up in an emergency situation and take her somewhere else because her driveway area was so bad that her wheelchair flipped over and landed on it, and everything landed on her foot and busted her foot. So now not only has she got all this other stuff going on, now she has a broken foot that a DART driver caused. And it was not me, but anyway. And so the city's going to go in and actually concrete the pad there for them to get her on and off really easier and stuff. So you could sit back and say how bad it is, you know. But going back over here out of mine, you know, Job also, he lived on this earth. He wasn't a mythical character. He had all that stuff, and he did his best every day to avoid evil and to live right. You know, he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had land, cattle, servants. He had everything that anybody could want, and he was successful. But he didn't let it go to his head. He knew that whatever he had was by God's grace that it was given to him. And so, but, you know, going back to the story, one day in Job, it talked about where Satan came to the Lord and said, hey, you know, he's only that because you've got all this protection around him, you know. So he didn't. So he gave him the blessing to go ahead and take everything from Job except for his, you can't touch Job. And so while he got bad news from the first servant and the second servant, and he just kept getting it piled on one after another, you know, he lost his cattle, which was his means of food. He lost his sheep, which was his means of clothing. He lost his camels, which was his transportation. Okay? And much worse, he lost his children, which was his gift from God. So he lost a lot of things that we could say that we lost today. You know, we could lose our car. We could lose our housing. We could lose our job. We could lose our food source, our food. And Job lost all of that. But through all of this, he continued to praise God. You know, it says in 22, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with any wrongdoing. And up above, he says that may the name of the Lord be praised. He was praising God even though he had lost everything. And so it tells us that, you know, our faith can be challenged and it can be tested. We can go through lots of stuff. And, you know, trouble sometimes can come in... trouble of time.
but we can have two troubles or three troubles or four troubles, you know, and we just have one thing after another. And so we just need to remember that, you know, although that we have trouble, we're still got Christ on our side, and we just need to turn to him, because we can have trouble in our house, we can have it in our job, we can have it in our children, you know. We can have it with the people that we're married with sometimes, and we can even have trouble in the church sometimes. You know, once in a while, I bet you there's been at least one disagreement one time or another in a church somewhere. Anyway, it's a sad story, you know, and he lost everything. He had 10 caskets of his children stretched out on the altar, and he called his friends. His so-called friends were telling him to give up. They're like, why do you even care, you know? Just give up. Even his wife just told him to, just curse God, quit. Just go ahead and die. Why should you even try, you know? He took everything from you, you know? Sometimes when you go through troubles, it's not the person that's actually having the trouble as much as it's the person, people around them that maybe not give them the best advice. But you have to just dig in and stand by your faith. And trust that God, as it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, is not going to give you anything more than you can handle. Because he's just that way. God's hand is unchanging. And you just have to stand on that and die. Or stand on that and live and be an example of faith, just like Job was. You know, we have his example today to live by. You know, and we have all kinds of things around us. You know, we have our personal troubles, but the U.S. has its own troubles, you know. We have an upcoming election that, you know, could go either way or both ways, or who knows, you know. We've got that to deal with. There's mass shootings all the time of people, ISIS, the police, you know, are targets. And, you know, you can't turn on the news media without hearing something that's gone bad or something. You know, Baton Rouge got flooded, you know, and so it just happens. And so you got to hang on to God's unchanging hand, even when it seems like you're standing in 4 foot of water, okay? Because you might be standing in 4 foot of water, but it will get better. You can suction that water out. You can drain it down, and most everything down there can be replaced. It's not easy. It's hard. You know, sometimes the cleanup is hard, but if you got Christ on your side, the cleanup is worth it. It's worth it in the end, and that's what we have to stick with. You know, the as I said before, Job's story doesn't end there. It doesn't stop with him losing everything, okay? He got restored. He got restored even more than he could ever expect, okay? So next time you feel like there's nothing but trouble going on and it's one thing or another, just take out some time at that time and come to God, come to Jesus, and just give him your troubles. Tell him, I can't take anymore. I can't. You know, I need you today. I need you to show some, you know, send me somebody that can help me, you know, scoop that water out of the basement, you know. Send me somebody that can help me, because I can't take it anymore, and, you know, and he will. But there's nothing that God can't handle, and he knows everything that we're going through. It's not, he doesn't wake up every morning and have to read a cheat sheet of what happened on the earth the night before. He knows everything that's going to happen to you beforehand. And he knows that even though you're going through it, that there's an out at the end, and it's going to be different. And you could be restored to even better than it was before. So it worked out for Job, and what you're going through right now, he can work it out for you. Okay? And so, you know, what I want to do at this point in time is, you know, if there's anybody in here that's going through any troubles right now that would like prayer, you can either come down front and we can get somebody to pray with you and for you. If you want to, you know, stand or sit in the area that you're at and have somebody pray for you, go ahead. Just let somebody know you want prayer. But, you know, I want to take the time. You know, I've gone through a lot of stuff here, even, you know, more. So sometimes when you're going through something, it builds you up when you have an opportunity to maybe pray for somebody that's going through troubles themselves. And so if there's anybody that would like prayer, now's the opportunity to come up and get some encouragement and strength from Christ during this time. Father God, I just thank you for this message, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful, Lord, no matter what we seem to be going through, Lord, that you are right there with us and waiting for us to turn to you and look for your assistance and guidance in whatever we're going through, Lord. And I just want to pray for the people this morning, Lord, that are seeking jobs or job changes or having even problems at work, Lord, and I just want to pray for those that are sick and need a healing, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I want to pray for the people that are having relationship problems and issues, Lord. And I want you to just touch their hearts and let them know in Jesus' name that you're there for them and that you won't give them more than they can go through, Lord. And I want you to give them strength and endurance, Lord, to work through their faith to get to the way out that you've provided for each and every one of us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.